Morning, as we continue our series, Reality Check. Reality Check. Again, an opportunity to kind of wake ourselves up to the reality that we are in, or to, you know, give yourself a shake, spiritually speaking. Because I think that there's a couple of things that are happening. Either we're becoming a little dull about this, a little disinterested, a little too passive, or in some cases, we're like way out there in what we think about what's going on and about the decisions that our governments are making and the restrictions that we have to follow and so on. And so it's a good opportunity for us to, yeah, give ourselves a little bit of a spiritual shake. And as I said before, that for those of us who know Christ, this is a season of double blessing, because it's an opportunity for us to draw near to God, but also an opportunity to be light and salt to those around us, that we can be a voice of hope. And I know that we haven't always, as a church, generally, like the big church, we haven't always done a good job of being good spokespersons of hope to a world that is up in chaos. But this is the opportunity that we have and that God has put before us in a season like this, where we can be the most positive, the most hopeful people, the people with a perspective that is healthy and encouraging, where others feel like, I want what they have. I don't want to be the kind of Christian or the kind of church that is giving Jesus and the gospel a bad PR campaign. We already have enough issues to deal with, and we don't need to make it any worse. So that's what this series is all about. Let me just jump right on to the sermon this morning. And I've called it, What Lessons Have We Learned? So as you think again, now in our case here in Alberta, about almost a full year, I think March 15th was the last day we actually gathered here, and we had a lunch after the service, and we were having our town hall meeting scheduled 2 weeks before our annual meeting. And I don't know who came up with the idea that, hey, maybe we should make this our annual meeting because we may not be able to gather. And that's exactly what ended up happening. So as it's been a long time. And again, as I was saying before, I don't know that any of us thought it would last this long, or that we would have to kind of comply with this fairly strict regulation. So it's been a long time. It's been, yes, a difficult time for many folks, and for those who have lost loved ones either due directly to COVID or COVID related, it's an awful thing. A lot of people. I've had family that have died from COVID. I have friends who've died from COVID. I have friends whose relatives have died from COVID. In fact, a friend of mine right now in Ecuador, his mom was just taken to the hospital yesterday after doing everything they could to keep her from having to go to the hospital, because sometimes the hospital isn't the best place to go. And we are praying for her as well. But that there's so many. So what lessons have we learned during this time? What lessons can encourage us, can help us, can stabilize us? Because, friends, I believe that there's always an opportunity for us to learn something from when things go really well and from when things are not going well, the opportunity to learn something. I remember someone saying, speaking about teachers, saying a teacher could say, well, I have 15 years of teaching experience, to which this individual said, if you have analyzed that, if you have evaluated that, if you had it critiqued, yes, you have 15 years of teaching experience. Otherwise, what you have is 1 year of teaching experience repeated 15 times. Interesting, isn't it? The difference between just living life and actually learning in the process. So I want to talk about that. I'm going to be reading from the book of James, from chapter 4, book of James. Now, the book of James, many people think, was actually one of the earliest, possibly the earliest book of the New Testament written, is somewhere around 25 to 30 years after the death of Jesus. So the early church is very, very young, and that's why primarily it's written to I think, addressed to the 12 scattered tribes, that there are Jewish people that had now become believers. They still largely met in synagogues and so on. And so James, one of the disciples, is writing to these new Christians living a new faith in a very harsh and difficult environment. And James tells us many things, particularly that faith without works is dead. He was not saying that it's works that lead us to salvation, but that works, good works, are the evidence of being saved. And he continues to say that faith should help us deal with any trials, with any difficulties. Faith should encourage us in the most difficult times. That faith should give us hope. That faith is a reason why we should not be prejudiced towards people who are better off than others. And that faith is always, always evidence in living a way, in a way that pleases God. So that's something to remember. And in fact, Luther, who very much felt, and of course we would agree, that we are saved by grace, Luther had a really hard time with the book of James, wondering why the book of James was in the Bible. Because again, if you don't read it correctly, it could lead you to believe that you are saved by works, but that's not what the book says. So let us read here what it says. Verses 13, 14, I think it's 15 and 16, around there. It says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Continuing on. "Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then, knowing the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." Kind of harsh words. And that's one of the things you learn about James. He does not mix words. Let's pray. Father, we pray that in this moment, as we look at your word, that you will speak to us, encourage us, and Lord, help us to be people that learn lessons, that equip us to be better witnesses, to reflect your love and your grace to those around us, even in dark, difficult times like the ones we are living in at the moment. We pray for this in your wonderful name. Amen. So James is writing to this group. Again, please understand, he's not saying that it's wrong to make plans. It's that it's wrong to have a business plan. He is not saying that that's something that should never be done. He is not asking us to just kind of live life nilly-willy. That's not what he is saying. But he does make a few warnings. And as I make these comments of lessons that we can learn from this passage, please keep in mind a story that happens in the Gospels where Jesus is asked about this situation where there were some people near a tower that fell and crushed them and killed them. And people were saying, "So that must have happened because they were sinful, wasn't it?" And Jesus says, no, you don't actually get this, how this all works. And so Jesus goes on to explain that sometimes these kinds of things happen, but there's something to be learned, and that it's a reminder for us of the that life is so strange and so unpredictable in many ways. So as we look at the book of James, and as James speaks to these individuals who are making plans to make business, to make a profit, to go to another city and then and do all of these things, James says, first of all, to remember that life is full of uncertainty. He says, don't say, "I'm going to do this and do that and go here and go there and I'm going to make a profit." Again, he's not speaking against planning. Please understand that. But he says, you don't realize that some of these plans may not even come to pass because life is so uncertain. How many of us a year ago at this time had any idea what was actually going to be happening? We had heard of it. We've seen what was going on in Europe, particularly in Italy, Spain, Germany, what was starting to happen in the U.S., what had happened in China. But we never really thought that this would actually affect us as much as it has. How many of us have been blindsided, that's the term we use, blindsided by life, in work, in our relationships, in our health, in just normal day-to-day life. It's uncertain. We do not know. And you know, Jesus tells parables that reinforce this idea that life is uncertain, that none of us can plan for it. And I'm going to do this and this and this, and then this is going to happen, and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going. It just doesn't. I mean, think of travel, and of course, there's even further restrictions now, but a year ago at this time, you know, Kirsten had plans to go to Costa Rica in April, leading a missions team. We were supposed to go as a family. AJ wasn't sure he'd come, but we were going to go to Germany to visit family. Of course, you know, Kirsten's mom passed away before we could get there. We never got to go. Karis and I had the tickets to go watch a soccer game in Amsterdam on June 15th. That tournament didn't even happen. I was supposed to be in El Salvador over the new year into this year. That didn't happen. Some of you had plans. They didn't happen. Life is uncertain. We need to remember. That's the first lesson we learn. And a second lesson that we learn from James is that it encourages us to clarify what people normally messed up values. What is really important? And one of the things that I think we've learned over this season, and if we haven't, we should learn, what is really important? Family is really important. Health is really important. You know, work is really important, whether we're working on site or from home, but the ability to just be able to use the gifts and the skills that God has given us and that we have honed and the experiences we've learned, and to be able to have just to be able to have work. Or what about the ability to just up and go where you want to go? Like gathering like this. We took these things for granted. Is being in community and being part of the family of God that gets together, that shares life, that encourages one another, that loves one another, that sometimes corrects one another, that helps one another, that prays for one another. That's really important. And I trust that over this time we've realized how truly important that is. Or even the ability to just go to the store and buy simple necessities. What privilege we have. But we don't often appreciate it. So I think in addition to not only clarifying messed-up values, but to giving us a deeper appreciation for all the freedoms that we normally have, all the opportunities available to us. Things like kids being able to go to school and they're safe. That's quite a privilege, isn't it? Because a lot of places, that's just not possible. Or simple things like being able to get in your car and drive somewhere. Or what about just spending time with a friend? And it tells us, look, make your plans, but realize that make the right plans for the right reason. That's why at the end it says, if you know to do good, but you don't do it, that's a sin. To do good, simple things. To clarify, I hope that this has clarified how valuable things like church and family and our health and our doctors and our hospitals, our schools, how important they really are. We had an emergency department here in the local hospital. It's kind of back up and running again. But you know, they shut it down for a while. Just how important that is that we could walk in there almost any time. Let's remember that. So life is full of uncertainty. It helps us to clarify our values. And I think another reminder is that we are all prone to self-delusion. And the biggest delusion I think that we have is that we are so much in control of what happens in our lives. Because generally speaking, we're pretty free to come and go and do whatever we want. Right? And all of a sudden, we are starting to realize in a situation, a simple thing like a virus can impact the whole world. And part of the reason I think why people are struggling with the restrictions is that, who are you to tell me? I was at the bank just the other day, and a person there without a mask, and then he's asking the cashier, so what do you think about this? And the cashier's like, well, you know, and he's like, well, I think it's just a hoax. I think this is nonsense. They're just wanting to control our lives. And unlike most other times, I bit my tongue, because I was going to say, you know, my cousin just died 4 weeks ago of COVID. My aunt and my uncle, his parents, are deathly sick because of COVID. Their other son is very, very ill because of COVID. My friend's wife in Ecuador ended up in the hospital with unrelated problems, but then contracted COVID and she died. Do you want me to go on with the list? Like, put a mask on, dude. But we delude ourselves, thinking that we have all this control and that we can make decisions. And thankfully, most of the time we do. But let us remember that God wants to help us reflect Him. Be Christ-like in situations like this. Whoever we end up getting the story of the Garretts, the book of the Garretts who were in prison in China. I don't understand this because I don't know that I could do it. Mrs. Garrett, on the last day, when they told her they would actually release her months into being held captive with no charges, they had this tradition, I think, for them is that they could ask for a special meal. And you know what she asked for? That the guards who watched over her every single day and night, every hour, she was always being watched by someone. She asked to have a meal with them. And as she sat there with them, she says, they asked her if she was mad at them. And she's like, I'm not mad at you. I've been praying for you. God loves you and I love you. How do you do that? How do you do that if it's not the Spirit of God in us? So friends, let us just remind ourselves that we are to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, not under my control, your control, self-control. And many of us really have a hard time with that. And that is where I think that the self-delusion happens, where we think that we can control so much. And in reality, we can control so little. So let's remind ourselves of that. But regardless of how much or how little we can control, when we walk by the Spirit, as the Bible says, then we can manage all of these things. We can survive all of these things. We can reflect Christ in all of these situations. We can be the people that speak hope in the most difficult circumstances. Paul is in prison in Rome. Well, he was in prison in lots of places, but I think he was in Rome when he wrote this. He says, you know, I'm in jail. But the good news is that so many people here have come to know Christ. So he's like, pray that when I share the good news, that people will come to trust in Jesus. How do you do that? How do you, being in prison for your faith, have that kind of attitude? If we get a bad attitude just because somebody told us to wear a mask, how do we do that? So let's allow God to work in us. And His Spirit to be in us. And the last lesson that we learned, lesson number 4 out of this chapter, out of this passage, is to not leave God out of the picture. You see what they say, what James says? He says, no, go ahead and make your plans, but be flexible. And I also say, if God wills. You know, in the Latin American culture and lots of other places in the world, it's so common. I remember when I was recently in the Bahamas, you know, I would meet with people and say, okay, well, we're going to meet at such and such a time. And they say, if the Lord wills, or Lord willing, I will be there. And probably the best, my favorite was, by the grace of God, I will be there. How often do I think when I say to somebody, you know, let's meet for coffee, or, you know, can you stop by the office, or this and that? Of course, we're not doing that now, but when we have opportunity to do that, how many times do I say, well, by the grace of God, I will be there? You know why I don't say it? Because I don't think it's a grace of God. I think it's just my right to be able to do that. And James is saying to these folks that are making all these plans to go somewhere to work and to make money, he's saying, no. Make the plan, but leave God in the picture. Realize that God may change your plans. Realize that God may have something else in mind. Realize that, you know, the weather may not be conducive to it. Realize that a pandemic might come and you can't do a lot of the things you wanted to do. But say, if the Lord wills. Many times I almost get frustrated with my Latin American friends or friends from other countries. I say, well, you know, Lord willing, I'll be there. And my question is, well, why can't you just plan to be there? And I'm sure that I've frustrated them because my approach is, well, we're going to be there at this time, so be there. And I don't take into consideration that God may have other plans, that God may have a different thing in mind for me or for them or for both of us at that time. So yeah, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, soon we'll come back to, you know, regular church gatherings. If the Lord wills, soon we'll be able to travel. If the Lord wills, we can go get our hair cut. Well, I don't need one, but you know what I mean. We can go to the dentist. We can go to the doctor. We can go get x-rays. We can, you know, go visit our friends. We can go skiing. We can go do all those. If the Lord wills. Let's not leave God out of the picture. I think probably that's the most important lesson that we learn from this passage. So how do we respond? Let me very quickly say four ways. Let's plan, but be flexible. It's okay to plan. It's a good thing. The Bible teaches us a lot about planning. But let's be flexible. Because, friends, if anything that we have learned is that we control so little. And one thing we can control, our attitude, we don't always do a good job. So let's plan but be flexible. Secondly, when things like this happen, when things don't work out, ask what instead of why. Lord, let's not ask, Lord, why is this happening to me? But rather, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Lord, what am I supposed to learn? Number three, look up instead of around. Look up, and get a perspective from above, from the Lord. Look up to Him. Because if we look around, it's kind of messy. It's kind of confusing. It's kind of discouraging because, people are reacting in ways that are not healthy, not honoring to the Lord, not respectful of those we have elected to govern us, and so on. And it can get confusing. If you want to just, you know, make your day interesting and be driven mad, just, you know, check out the Devin Rant and Rave on Facebook. So yeah, look up instead of around. And number three, I have read the book instead of Facebook. I mean, if we let some of the stuff that's going on around social media get into our head, oh man, it's kind of crazy. It can be used for really good reasons, and lots of people are doing that. But ultimately, I think this book will give us more stability, more wisdom, more insight, more comfort, more courage, more hope than anything else on social media will. Than anything else in general. But let's keep our eyes on God. Let's make plans. Let's be flexible. Let's ask what instead of why. And let's look up instead of around, and let's read the book. This book, we all have it. It's always available to us. And it can shape our thinking, our attitude, our perspectives, our decisions, our hopes, our conversations, all of that. Let's do that. This is something, I close with this quote from Erwin Lutzer. Our prayer should be primarily that we be good witnesses in the midst of the pandemic rather than for deliverance from it. Can I say that again? Our prayer should be primarily that we be good witnesses in the midst of the pandemic rather than for for deliverance from it. Let's make Jesus look really good at this time as his followers. Let me pray, and then we'll have a closing song, and with that we will be dismissed. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.